going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
Welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Friday, July 8th. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. This is Sports Ethos presentation. If you haven't checked us out already, go to our website at sportsethos.com. You can see our daily podcasts, our daily articles across all sports that we have. You can see our packages. I'm part of the wagering group, and for just $15 a month, you can get handicappers focusing on baseball, tennis right now, some Aussie rules football. We're going to ramp up, obviously, the NFL and college football, and then back to the NBA and NHL in the fall. But lots of things going on here at Sports Ethos. And if you're not already following our tennis guy, Fish Fisher, as Wimbledon wraps up, check him out on Twitter at Fish_Fisher and then the number 4. That's F-I-S-H-E-R and the number 4. Doing a great job handicapping Wimbledon and tennis in general. So somebody to follow if you're not already. Big slate of 15 games in the MLB today, so let's get right at it. We start at 6:40 in the East. Tampa Bay Rays are in Cincinnati. Tampa throws their ace, Shane McClanahan, who has to be leading Cy Young contender right now for the American League, against Cincinnati's ace, right-hander Luis Castillo. McClanahan comes in 98 in the third innings, 1.74 ERA, 17 walks, 133 strikeouts, leads the American League in 0.81 whip. Castillo's been pitching well lately. He comes in 64 innings, 3.09 ERA, 1.14 whip, just 22 walks, so a few too many, but 66 strikeouts. I'm not really on the game here. Rays are -175 favorites. You can get the Reds at +155. Total here, 7.5. So pitcher's duels to be expected. I would lean to the under. I'm seeing around -115, 120. I think McClanahan shuts down the Reds, and Castillo has the ability to shut down Tampa as they're not pitching that well. So I could see this being a low-scoring game. And if not full game, certainly first half. You can also get the Rays at -105 on the run line. What I am on, though, is I'm going to jump on a McClanahan over 7.5 Ks. And the reason being, I know the Reds hit lefties better than righties, but if you look at McClanahan's last number of games, he's basically pitched over 92 pitches in each of his last, but not more than 99 in each of his last 7 starts. So they're letting him go close to 7 innings in most games. Against the Jays, went 7 innings, 10 strikeouts. Against Pittsburgh, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts. Against the Yankees, 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. Also against the Yankees, 6 innings, 7 strikeouts. St. Louis, 8 innings, 9 strikeouts. The White Sox, who traditionally hit lefties well, 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. And then again, the Yankees, 6 innings, 7 strikeouts. Actually went against the Yankees 3 times in his last 7 starts and has 8, 7, and 7 strikeouts. So something to be said about that. And coming off back-to-back 10K games where he pitched 7 innings. So the question here is, will he be able to get the 6 2/3, 7 innings? I think he will. Again, I know Cincinnati hits lefties well. Great American Ballpark, it's a little bit different game. But I see him being able to get some strikeouts. And at 7.5, I thought that was a little low, and I got that. I think it was at even money at +100. So I'm going to be on that McClanahan prop. Just checking again exactly what the number is here. Over 7.5 at +100. So I'm jumping on that. Next game, 7:05 in the East, sees the LA Angels at the Baltimore Orioles. You get Reed Detmers just called back up, lefty for LA on the hill, versus Tyler Wells for Baltimore, the righty. You can get the Road Angels at +115, the home favorite Orioles at -135. Total here, 8.5. And you can get the Orioles at +145 on the run line. Detmers, threw a no-hitter and then seems to have lost his game. Got sent to the minors, called back up, which surprised me, actually, because I figured they'd leave him down there for a while. However, 58 innings, 4.66 ERA, 1.10 whip, 22 walks, so too many walks, 44 strikeouts, not really enough strikeouts. Tyler Wells has been doing this with a bit of smoke and mirrors. His numbers look good. 75 and two-thirds innings, 3.09 ERA, and a very respectable 1.00 whip, 17 walks and 50 strikeouts. So he's pitching to contact, and he seems to be doing well. So I would lean the Orioles here at 135. It's a little high. And 8.5, I would probably lean the over. I think they can get to Detmers and get to him quite easily, actually. So I think it's going to be a few runs on Baltimore's side. And Wells and the Orioles bullpen behind him. Wells has pitched well, 7-4 record. But I just don't have a lot of faith in him, although the LA has been struggling. So not really on the game, not really in any of the lines there. Next game should be an interesting matchup, 7-10 in the East. We have the Miami Marlins in New York to face the Mets. Pablo Lopez, the righty on the bump for the Fish, and Chris Bassett, the righty on the mound for the Mets. You get Lopez and the Fish at +140. The home Mets favorite at -160. Total here 7.5, so pitcher's duel is expected. You can get the Mets at +135 on the run line. Don't like going against the Mets at home, although their bats have slowed down, quieted down a little lately. But I think there's some value in Miami at +140. Lopez comes in 94 innings, 2.97 ERA, 1.07 whip, 93 strikeouts, basically a strikeout inning, 27 walks. Bassett has been up and down like most of his career, 89 two-thirds innings, 4.01 ERA, 1.15 whip, 26 walks, and 95 strikeouts. So he's striking out more than the batter per inning. So pitcher's doing well. I just have more faith in Lopez. I just don't like going against the Mets at home. So I'm looking maybe at the Fish at +140. I'm going to debate that a little closer to game time, but not on it right now. The next game, which is the biggest battle of the night as far as rivalries, we have the Yankees in Boston against the Red Sox. Nestor Cortez on the hill for the Yanks, the lefty, versus young Connor Siebold on the hill, the righty for the Red Sox. You can get the Yanks at -160 in the road, the home Red Sox at +140. Total here 10, so obviously runs are expected. And the Yankees on the run line, you can get them at -105. Cortez, obviously the better pitcher here, comes in 85 innings, 2.44 ERA, 0.95 whip, 19 walks, 91 strikeouts. So slowed down a little, but still pitching very effective. And he's got the Yankees bats behind him. Siebold, can't really judge much, just 8.2 innings, 8.31 ERA, 2.08 whip, 3 walks, 11 strikeouts. Not much to see there. I do like the Yankees, but laying 160 is a little chalky for me. And the run line in a Yankees-Red Sox game, I'm not necessarily going to touch, especially since it's only at -105. And a total here of 10. I see the Yankees putting up some runs. And the Red Sox bats could get to Cortez, but he's been showing a lefty in Boston, obviously, is not where you want to be pitching if you're a lefty. And the Red Sox lineup is hot, especially Rafael Devers, who clubbed 2 home runs yesterday. So I could see them putting up some runs, but 10's a little high. Stay away in general from me. Next game has the Washington Nationals in Atlanta to face the Braves. Eric Fetty, the righty on the hill for Washington. You can get them at +210. And you get veteran righty Charlie Morton on the hill for Atlanta at -250. Total here is 9. You can get the Braves at -125 on the run line. I would look to the under. It's juiced up a little to -105, so a decent price there. I think Morton shuts down the Braves, or pardon me, the Nationals. The question is, does Fetty limit? He's not going to shut them down, but can you limit them? Morton's struggled most this year, but he seems to have righted the ship lately. Last game out against Cincy, at Cincy, 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts, no earned runs. Before that, against Philly, 5 2/3, gave up 2 earned runs. Against the Giants, 7 innings, 2 earned runs. Against the Cubbies, 7 innings, no earned runs. So his last 4 starts have all been very respectable. Strikeout totals of 10, 5, 11, and 9. Fetty hasn't been too bad himself either. He's gone more than 5 innings in his last 5 starts, giving up 2 earned runs Miami, 2 to Pittsburgh, 6 innings, no earned runs Baltimore, 5 1/3 innings, and 3 earned runs to these Braves, although 7 hits, 3 walks in that game, just 4 strikeouts. And against Milwaukee, 5 2/3, 3 earned runs. So hasn't been terrible, but the Braves bats and Charlie Morton leaving to the Braves. But I can't touch -250 and a run line at -125. Not a whole lot of value there either. The next game on the docket is in Texas. It's the Battle of the Grays. We get Sonny Gray, the veteran for Minnesota, the righty on the hill. And you can get the Twins at -120. on the money line. You get John Gray, also a veteran, in Texas, the righty at plus 100. So the home Rangers as the underdog at plus 100. Total here, 7.5. So low scoring game expected. You can get the Twinkies on plus 145 on the run line. I would actually lean to the over. It's juiced at minus 110 either way. But John Gray's been hit a little bit more lately, and I think he can give up some runs. And Texas's bats have been cold, but I'm not sure Sonny Gray can completely limit them, although he's done well. So, you know, I lean Minnesota on the money line. Minus 120 is a decent price. But John Gray has pitched well at home, so probably stay away from me. Sonny Gray comes in, 54 2/3, 2.47 ERA, a very respectable 1.04 whip, 14 walks, 54 strikeouts. John Gray comes in 3.96 ERA, 1.16 whip, 26 walks, and 83 strikeouts. So both guys doing very well. I'm a little more on Sonny Gray. But again, John Gray, I'm still not saying Gray and Gray and Gray, but John Gray at home, I don't really want to bet against. So again, stay away from me. I just don't really see a whole lot of value in these lines. The next game is in not must-see TV. Sorry, folks, if you're a Cleveland Guardian or Kansas City Royals fan. But in Kansas City, we have righty Aaron Civale on the hill for Cleveland. They come in at plus 105. And young righty Brady Singer on the bump for the Royals, minus 125. Total here, 8.5. And you can get the Royals on the run line at plus 170. And I'm actually looking at this game at the first five over. I see over 4.5 at around minus 110, and I'm going to be on that. I just think both these pitchers are going to give up runs. And when you look at their numbers, Civale comes in 46 innings pitched. Listen to these ones. 7.04 ERA, 1.54 whip. He's giving up 1.5 runners basically per inning. 15 walks, 45 strikeouts. So he is striking some guys out. Brady Singer on the other side, 58 2/3, 4.3 ERA, 1.21 whip, 13 walks, and 58 strikeouts. So a little more respectable, but Singer's been wildly inconsistent. Young pitcher. I think he's got a future in this league, but he needs to find his footing a little better. When you look at Civale, in his last few outings against the Yankees, 5 innings, 4 earned runs. Against Red Sox, 4 innings, 8 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks. Had a decent outing against Minnesota, 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs. Shut down Detroit, which doesn't say a whole lot, 6 1/3, 3 hits, no earned runs. But then got rocked by Minnesota, 4 2/3, 6 earned runs. Hit pretty hard by the Jays, 5 2/3, 6 hits, 4 earned runs. And even Oakland, although this is back way back in April, before he won the DL, 4 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs. He's basically been giving up a lot of runs, but more importantly, a lot of hits. You know, when you see a whip of 1.54, he's just putting way too many guys on base. So I think there's could be some runs scored. Neither offenses are exactly chugging, but a 4.5, I think both these guys are going to put some runners on base. So I'm looking at the first five over 4.5 runs. The next game, 8-10 in the East, and I'm on this in a few different ways. You have Detroit behind young lefty Tarik Skubal. You can get them at plus 155, and you have the White Sox with their kind of ace, but he's been struggling this year, Lucas Giolito, the righty on the hill. You can get them minus 175. Total here is 8 runs. You can get the White Sox at minus 1.5 in the run line at plus 115. And what I'm on here is a few things. I'm on the White Sox team total, first five team total of over 2.5. Also on the White Sox team total for the game at over 4.5. I got the over 2.5 team total of plus 105. And it's actually been rising. I've seen it at plus 110 as well. So jump on that while you can. Team total of over 4.5 for the game, we got at minus 110. And here's why. Chicago hits lefties really well, and Skubal has been struggling lately. Skubal comes in 88. His numbers don't look bad, but we're going to break him down a little further in a second. 88 2/3 inning, 4.06 ERA, 1.2 whip, 24 walks, 90 strikeouts. On the flip side of that, you have Giolito, 75 1/3 innings, 4.9 ERA, 1.47 whip, 29 walks, and 89 strikeouts. But when we look a little deeper, look under the hood, so to speak, Skubal started the season on fire, really, really good. But his last 5 or 6 outings, he has completely imploded. He's gone only 5 innings once in his last 5 starts, went 4 innings once, and 4 2/3 the other 3 times. In those outings, against Kansas City, 4 2/3, 5 earned runs. Against San Francisco, 4 2/3. 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks. Against Boston, 4 2/3, 6 hits, 3 walks, 6 earned runs. Against Texas, 5 innings, 8 hits, 2 walks, 5 earned runs. Against Toronto, 4 innings, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 earned runs. That's his last 5 outings. So obviously you've got some decent teams there in Boston and Toronto offensively, but KC hit him pretty good last time out, and San Fran and Texas have been scuffling and they've been able to get to him. So I don't see him being able to limit the White Sox, who hit lefties really well. To put in perspective, the White Sox batting average, .285 against lefties, number 2 overall. Against lefties are number 2 in the league. Overall, they're number 5 in general. On-base percentage against lefties, .342, 3rd in the league. Overall, their on-base percentage are 18th in the league. Slugging percentage against lefties, .452, tied for 2nd in the majors. Overall, their slugging percentage is .378, which is 23rd. They hit lefties a lot better. And then also I'm looking at some player props, which I might jump on. Considering he is prone to give up home runs, he's given up in those last 5 starts I quoted, he's given up 5 home runs, Scooble. So he's not long for the game and he's giving up the long ball. You can get Jimenez on Chicago, just back in DL, hit a home run yesterday. His home run prop is plus, I see it anywhere. This way you need to shop for props too, anywhere between plus .340 and plus .370. So I definitely look at the plus .370. Luis Robert, who's hitting 3rd in the order, you can get him anywhere from plus .330 to plus .390. So one of those two guys I could see easily leaning into one and getting a long ball. Total bases, might look at this too. Luis Robert, again, hitting 3rd in a very good offense against lefties. 1.5 bases, so he's got to get 2 total bases minus .110. Jimenez, you can get it, same minus 1.5 bases, plus .125. So if those guys can get a double, a couple singles, or obviously hit the long ball, they cash that easy. And then RBIs, which is some value here, I think, too. Robert hitting number 3rd. It's a lot over 0.5 ribby. So as long as he gets one, plus .130. Abreu over 0.5. It's all over 0.5. So as long as they get one ribby. Abreu plus .125 and Jimenez plus .155. I think I would lean into Robert there, and I might lean into a Robert home run prop too. So definitely going to be looking at those. Some value just because they hit lefties well and Scooble's really been struggling. Next game, we go to Milwaukee for the Pirates are in town. And the Pirates just pulling the game up here. Pirates have JT Brubaker. They're ready on the bump, and they come in at plus .175 underdogs. You can get the Brewers at home with Aaron Ashby, their young lefty on the hill at minus .210. Total here is 8. You can get the Brew Crew at minus .105 on the run line. Interesting here, and there might be some value in taking this big number with Pittsburgh. Brubaker's been, I wouldn't say hot, but he's been decent and cold. So he has the ability to throw decent games. 82 innings, 4.28 ERA, 1.44 whip. 33 walks, 82 strikeouts. So he's getting some strikeouts. Aaron Ashby, heralded rookie, pitched great out of the bullpen, had one good start, and then has been kind of cold since. 58 and two-thirds innings, 4.6 ERA, 1.47 whip, 27 walks, and 73 strikeouts. So impressive strikeout numbers for him. But when we dig a little deeper, like I said, his last few outings haven't gone so well. In his last 3 outings, 3 2/3 against these Pirates, 4 earned runs. 4 1/3 against the Mets, 4 earned runs. 4 2/3 against Washington, 13 hits, a walk, and 6 earned runs. 6 innings against the Padres, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, and 0 walks. So he seems to have hit a bit of a bump. In those games, they're letting him go. He's throwing, you know, he's thrown a high of 104 pitches. The last game against Pittsburgh, just 62. So not really sure what you're going to get out of him. And I don't really like backing Pittsburgh very often, but a plus .175, there might be some value there if Brubaker can have a decent game. Next game, which should be a very good pitcher's battle in my mind, is in St. Louis, where we have Phillies in town. I'm going to break that down in a second, but we'll take a quick break and be back. All right, we are back. And the Phillies have
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Ready, Zach Wheeler on the Hill. You can get them on the road as a favorites, -130. The home cards throw ready, Adam Wainwright. And you can get them at +110. Total here, 7.5. So pitchers do as expected as well. You can get Phillies at +145 on the run line. Wheeler comes in 88 innings, 2.66 ERA, 1.07 whip, 20 walks, 99 strikeouts. Having a very good year. Slowly becoming their ace, him and Aaron Nola, but I actually lean to Wheeler. Wainwright has been up and down, but a decent year. 96 and two-thirds innings, 3.26 ERA, 1.27 whip, 27 walks at 81 strikeouts. So I would lean the Phillies. The thing is, they're on the road, and I hate going against St. Louis at home. Kind of a stay away from me. The 7.5 total, I do like that, but the way Wainwright's been giving up a few hits lately, so I could see both these teams getting to 3 or 4 runs, and all of a sudden that is in jeopardy, so stay away there. Next game is in Arizona, and we have the Rockies on the road behind righty Chad Kuhl. You can get them at +145 on the money line. Zach Gallen, the ace of the D-backs, they're righty. You can get him -165. Total here is 9. You can get the D-backs at +130 on the run line. And I lean to Arizona. Gallen's been pitching well, 82 innings, 3.4 ERA, 1.05 whip, 23 walks, 77 strikeouts. Lean to them quite easily, but Chad Kuhl has stepped up, especially away from Colorado lately. 82 and a third, 3.83 ERA, 1.32 whip, 30 walks, 59 strikeouts. So he's pitching to contact, but he seems to be doing well. I might actually look to the D-backs here on the run line at +130. I can't take them at -165. And the under 9, juice right now, I see about -115, -110-ish. So you're getting close to even, not even there, but the same on either side of that number. I think Gallen can limit the Rockies. The Rockies are terrible hitting on the road. And the D-backs, I think, can put a few runs on the board, although they're no gem on offense either. So can't take them at -165. Might look to the +130 on the run line. Next game is in Oakland, and you have Houston in town behind their righty Jose Urquidy. He comes in as a -175 favorite. The home A's with their behind Montas, their best pitcher, Paul Blackburn, and they come in as +155 underdogs. Total here 7.5, and you can get the Astros at -105 on the run line. Not really much I can back there. Urquidy has pitched well his last few games on the season, 80 and a third innings, 4.15 ERA, an unimpressive 1.33 whip, 19 walks, 63 strikeouts. Blackburn, 87 innings, 2.9 ERA, 22 walks, 67 strikeouts, 1.16 ERA. These two guys seem to be going in the opposite direction, though. I don't have Blackburn's stats right there. Sorry, but Urquidy has pitched well lately. In the last 3 outings, he's only given up 1 run, 1 earned run, 6 innings against the Angels, 7 innings against the Yanks, 6 innings against the Mets. Hasn't given up more than an earned run, hasn't given up 2 hits, 1 hit, and 4 hits. So he's been pitching well lately, and he's going against Oakland. I might look here to the run line for the Stros at -105. The total 7.5. I think Urquidy can shut down Oakland. Blackburn has not been pitching great lately, and Houston's offense is always open to exploding. Although they've been hitting more unders this year than in the past, but I'm going to stay away. I'm going to probably look at the Astros at -105 on the run line. Next game of the night has San Francisco in San Diego, and San Fran looks to be starting an opener with lefty Sam Long on the hill. You can get them as the underdogs, +135. Blake Snell at home. The lefty is a -155 favorite. Total here is 7.5. You can get the Padres +140 on the run line, which is probably where I would lean. Can't take -155 at the Padres. Blake Snell is much better at home, but his numbers in general have not been good. 40 and a third innings, 5.13 ERA, 1.46 whip, 23 walks, 50 strikeouts. Sam Long, the other end, 30 innings, 1.7 ERA, 1.02 whip, 8 walks and 19 strikeouts. But like I said, he's just going to be an opener, and not a lot of faith in the Giants' bats these days. So we'll definitely lean the Padres. When I look at Blake Snell, you know, at home, his last few starts at home have been not all that great. Against Philly, gave 5 2/3 innings, gave up 4 earned runs. Against Colorado, 6 innings, gave up 2 earned runs. Against the Mets, 4 innings, gave up 4 earned runs. He's just been wildly inconsistent, so I can't really see any way to back him. Although he's the kind of guy who can go out and throw 7 or 8 innings and strike out 10 and have a great outing, especially against the scuffling Giants. But at 155, I can't do that. And if Padres win, I could see them winning by a couple of runs if their bats have a good night against San Fran's pitching. So maybe plus 140 on the run line. Second last game of the night. We are in Los Angeles, staying in California for the Cubbies. And the Cubbies throw ready Keegan Thompson on the hill, and they are plus 175 underdogs. And the home Dodgers throw Tyler Anderson, who comes in at minus 210 on the money line. Total here, 8.5. You can get the Dodgers at plus 100 on the run line. Anderson's been having a great year. 9-1, 84 and a third innings, 3.09 ERA, 1.06 whip, 15 walks, 73 strikeouts. Him and Tony Gonsolin have been fantastic and really keeping it together for the Dodgers as they're starting pitching with Walker Buehler injured, with Clayton Kershaw out for a little while. These two guys have really, really been gems for the Dodgers. Keegan Thompson, 71 the third innings, has a 7-3 record, so he's been doing all right for Chicago. 3.41 ERA, 1.23 whip, 22 walks, 66 strikeouts. I just don't see him slowing the Dodgers down. I don't see the Cubs bats getting to Tyler Anderson. So I like the Dodgers, maybe on the run line at plus 100. Can't touch the minus 210 money line. Last game of the night in Seattle is Toronto's home away from home. If you know the geography, Seattle, Washington is just across the border from Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada, and ton of Vancouver ton of BC-based fans always travel down to Seattle. So there's always a huge Blue Jays contingent at these games. For the Jays, this game is basically a coin flip, minus 110 on each side. For the Jays, they get righty Ross Stripling on the hill and young righty George Kirby on the bump for the Mariners. Stripling has been, as usual, inconsistent, but he's been decent this year. 62 and a third innings, 3.32 ERA, 1.12 whip, 13 walks, 49 strikeouts. So pitching to contact, but doing a good job of it. Kirby has been inconsistent as well, but lately he's been better, and when he's on, he's definitely on. 60 innings, 3.75 ERA, 1.15 whip, just 8 walks and 58 strikeouts. I actually like the Jays here. I like the way Stripling's playing. I'm not one to say, oh, they're going to have all these fans, so it's going to be an advantage to them. But they tend to play well in Seattle. Maybe it is because of the fans there coming down from Canada. But Stripling's been pitching decent. Seattle's bats are struggling. The Jays, everybody's on the Jays' bats struggling, but it's all the same guys. And when they wake up, they tend to wake up big. So I could see them getting to Kirby for a few runs. I would lean to the Jays at minus 110. You can get the Jays on the run line at plus 150, and you can get the over 8.5 at minus 105. I'm not sure about the number there. Maybe the Jays, if you want to take a flyer at plus 150, but I'm probably going to be on the Jays at minus 110. So lots of games, a few sides, a few totals, a few props in that Detroit-Chicago game, which is the game I'm probably on the most. Kind of the fade Tariq Skubal and back the White Sox against lefties lines or angles. So hopefully you enjoyed the analysis. Hopefully you got some plays, and hopefully you enjoy some interesting baseball tonight. Have a great day, everyone, and we'll catch you on Monday probably.
Going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide,
Saudi Arabia,
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, Canelo versus Skull. The king stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Yet Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com